Blog Talk Radio.
He's at the 20, throwing speed, 25, 30, 35. He's got a chance, needs a block. He's in midfield. He's going to take it to the house. See ya, 91 yards.
Breaks one tackle. He's got some running room, 30, 35. He could go down the far sideline. I don't think they're going to get him. He's going to have a chance, though. Takes him into 39. At the 40, comes to the outside. 45, he's at midfield. Runs past the man, 40. He's coming back the other way. He's at the 30. He's at the 25, 20, 15, 10. He may go home, and he does. Holy cow.
Kick in the air. LSU wins. I can tell you for sure now, LSU wins.
The sun will soon find its home in the western sky, and it will be Saturday night in Death Valley.
Welcome to Bengal Beat, a Tiger Hype podcast. I am your host, Patrick Fry, and I will be here, as always, each week talking LSU football. Thank you for tuning in wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Go follow our Facebook page, Tiger Hype, and also our podcast page, Tiger Hype Podcast. Our guest line is 675-383-0294. I will be opening up the phone lines a little bit later in the show. So that number again, 675-383-0294. If you want to give me a call and give me your thoughts maybe on LSU football or even college football in general, because we'll be talking mostly LSU football today and also a little bit of college football, the week one slate, all the great games that they have lined up come September 3rd, September 5th, and September the 7th, Labor Day night also has a good one with the defending national champions playing that night. We're now less than 4 weeks away from kickoff in Tiger Stadium, where LSU welcomes McNeese State University. But it's now Sunday, August the 9th, and the LSU football team has indeed reported to camp this past Wednesday, and they began practice on Thursday morning. And one of the big questions everybody wants to know is, you know, who's getting the reps at quarterback? So far, through 4 days of fall camp, Brandon Harris has taken first-team snaps, although that could very well change the further we go into camp. So as of right now, Brandon Harris is getting the first team snaps, but that's probably because he got the most work over the summer. I've been watching videos and tidbits of fall practice all over the internet, and I have to admit that the one thing that I have enjoyed most far is watching Coach Ed Orgeron put players through drills. He's very loud and vocal and is someone that can grab anyone's attention in a heartbeat. He was grabbing even my attention just on the other side of the video. So I'm somewhat anxious to see how fired up he may get on the sidelines once game day rolls around. He's going to be one of those coaches, you know, of LSU, you know, defense, kind of like Will Muschamp was back in 03, man. If the LSU players, you know, would make a big play, Muschamp was just as fired up, if not more fired up than the players were. And I have a feeling Coach Ed Orgeron is going to be one of those coaches also coaching the defensive line here at LSU in his first season. Another big topic in fall camp is, speaking of Coach Ed Orgeron and the defensive line, another big topic in fall camp is the possible lack of depth at the defensive line. Last season, the LSU Tigers had just 19 sacks all season, which ranked 101st in college football, and 8.5 of those sacks came from players who either graduated or moved on to the NFL. And while the depth chart may be a question, there is some experience there. They have junior Christian Lockature. He'll be in the middle of the defensive line after getting significant playing time last season as a sophomore. And then there is sophomore Devon Godshaw. He will be the other defensive tackle that we presume to be the starter. There will also be two seniors in Mickey Johnson and Quinton Thomas who will be at LSU's disposal when it comes to reserves at defensive tackle. So you got those two guys right there, both seniors. They'll give you, you know, maybe not so much depth, but at just as much depth, you'll have experience there at the defensive line. And if you've seen any pictures, a defensive end, Lewis Neal, he's going to be one starter, and we actually have a report from practice that was earlier this morning, the veterans practice, about the defensive end position. I'll talk about that in just a few minutes. But Lewis Neal, I saw a picture of him in check-in day, I think last Wednesday. I saw it on Twitter. Man, his arms are huge. He looks like he's going to be a force to reckon with on the defensive line. So any offensive tackles in the SEC might want to beware of Lewis Neal. And also junior Tashawn Bauer will be the defensive end on the other side as of right now. That's what we're expecting. So as far as the four starters go, you have three juniors and a sophomore along with two senior reserves at tackle. And then you also have the true freshman who has been the talk of fall camp thus far, Arden Key, who will be put at defensive end. He's supposedly turning some heads at fall camp, and even though he has only been on campus for not even a week yet, he's practiced every day so far with the veterans. He also practiced today with the veterans in a media session to open up training camp. Les Miles stated that Arden Key now weighs 240 pounds compared to what he was before the summer, which was 217. So that is a 23-pound gain from before the summer to now here in fall camp. He's gone a lot of weight. He's got the speed. He's got the range. He's going to be fun to watch. Honestly, you know, if you have seen the practice reports from today, August the 9th, then you'll know what I'm going to say in a little bit. But I'm going to go through my notes here. I got my notes all nice and organized for us. But, yeah, he came up 23 pounds from before the summer. So it's going to be interesting to see him go up against some of those offensive tackles here in the SEC. The big focus on the defensive line is to get to the quarterback. As I said last year, LSU only put in 19 sacks, which ranked 101st in college football. Certainly, you know, an area that they would like to improve in. This guy, Arden Key, I mentioned it either last week or the week before. Last week I talked about the impact freshman. Arden Key was definitely one of them. And he had, I believe it was 35.5 sacks over his last three high school seasons. So he's a guy that's definitely going to get to the quarterback. And it's also going to be interesting because being ranked 101st in sacks last year, it doesn't cut it. And then LSU's first two SEC opponents, first one, Mississippi State, in the second week of the season, they'll be going up against a mobile quarterback of Dak Prescott. And then the next week after that, they'll be going up against Jeremy Johnson from Auburn, who's also a very mobile quarterback. So it's going to be interesting to see if LSU can not only get pressure on these quarterbacks, but maybe get to them in the backfield, cause some sacks, put them in some second and longs. You know, they decide to, you know, to throw the ball on first down, they can put them in a second long or even a third and long if they decide to throw the ball on second down. You know what I'm saying? So it's going to be interesting to see if LSU can improve in the sack area this season. The defensive line will be interesting to watch as fall camp unfolds because LSU is known for rotating defensive linemen in and out. And based on who we play, I would not be surprised if certain linemen play more than others in certain games. You know, you might not have an Arden Key start against a Mississippi State, but if Mississippi State, you know, against Mississippi State, if our defensive ends cannot contain Dak Prescott, don't be surprised if Arden Key gets in there. And if Arden Key is working at containing a Dak Prescott or even a Jeremy Johnson against Auburn, then I wouldn't be surprised to see Arden Key get a lot more significant playing time against those types of quarterbacks. On the offensive side of the line now, William Clapp will take over the reins at center as a redshirt freshman with Ethan Pocic moving over to guard, although there could be times where both men could play multiple positions on the offensive line. This year's offensive line is expected to be as big and physical as any offensive line Les Miles has had. All the presumed starters at this point are above 300 pounds and at least 6'5". And with the offensive line this year, I'm personally more concerned about them protecting our quarterback than I am with blocking for our running backs, because I trust the running backs to make something out of nothing before the quarterbacks will. But that is, will remain to see how well the quarterbacks have improved over the, you know, spring and the summer and now in fall camp. Also, other news, Tre'Davious White was voted to receive the infamous number 18 this season. So congrats to Tre'Davious White. Wearing the number 18 at LSU is obviously a big deal. A lot of great players have worn it over the years. Richard Dixon, Matt Maugg, Jacob Hester, just to name a few. I expect a big season for him as our number one cornerback and one of the leaders of this defense. Now I'm going to go on over to the notes from this morning's practice. When the veterans practice, they had a newcomer this morning at the veterans practice. Tyron Johnson, the true freshman wide receiver, joined the morning group for the first time this camp. Johnson has shown through the first few days he's still getting his feet wet on the college level, but his talent is unquestioned, and it's clear LSU is expecting big things from him. Les Miles said that just because a freshman is in the morning session doesn't mean he's set to start or is guaranteed playing time. Oftentimes they want the younger players to learn from the veterans' example, and that's likely the case with Tyron Johnson. Johnson did have a few drops. Once the wide receivers got with the quarterbacks, Johnson will play as a freshman. I don't expect he'll compete early in the season for a starting spot, but he's getting closer to that lead group. So I'm thinking maybe halfway through SEC play, you know, we could easily see Tyron Johnson, you know, coming in, especially in the slot, kind of like, and I don't want to compare him to a Trey Quinn, because last year Trey Quinn came in from the get-go. He played against Wisconsin, had a touchdown, or it was a two-point conversion he had. He came in, made a big splash on the scene for the first half of the season, then kind of sort of faded away a little bit as the, you know, the end of the season came around. So it'll be interesting to see how they play Tyron Johnson this season. Speaking of the quarterbacks, once again, this is from today's practice this morning, Jennings took every rep that Harris did. Still with the second team, though, Jennings didn't throw as much as Harris did on Saturday, but was back to normal on Sunday. There were some rumors about shoulder soreness, but that didn't seem to, you know, be hindering Jennings that much. Sunday, we probably saw more throwing than we had any of the previous 3 days, but Harris continues to be the more consistent quarterback of the two. Sean Bauer, we mentioned him earlier. He is presumed to be one of the starting defensive ends. He was missing from this morning's practice. There are rumors that he was struggling with some heat exhaustion and fatigue after Saturday's workout. So it would make sense that LSU trainers would hold him out on Sunday as a precaution. Then a freshman, Arden Key. Been a lot of talk about Arden Key, obviously. He took his place with the first team today, so maybe he took that spot of Tashawn Bauer. He lined up opposite Lewis Neal. Key has received rave reviews since he's arrived on campus Wednesday. He's already taken snaps with the starters. Look for him to play a lot of football in 2015. And also during Sunday's availability, we saw Ethan Pochich doing a lot of pulling from the left guard spot. That's something LSU did a lot of from the right side, Trey Turner a couple of years ago, and maybe they're looking to reverse that from other side with the versatile athlete of Ethan Pochich. So switch gears, that's about all I got from the practice this morning. Tomorrow, all the teams the veterans and the freshmen will all be together for the first time. I believe full pads begins tomorrow. I can double-check that here real quick. There is a schedule that I have written down, and tomorrow I believe will be first full pad. Yeah, first full pad squad. Last day is open to the media also, so I believe after tomorrow morning, 9:25 a.m., they will have practice. After that, they won't be really open to the media, so our last glimpse probably will be tomorrow whenever their first and the first and only full pad, full team practice. So ESPN has come out with their rankings for the top 100 players for the upcoming college football season. LSU was able to land four guys on that list. We'll start now. Of course, Leonard Fournette was near the top. He landed in the top 10 at number 7. Then Vidal Alexander came in at number 42, so he cracked the top 50. Jalen Mills was not that far behind him at number 60. And Jamal Adams came in tied at 69th with Jabril Peppers from Michigan. And for those of you who are curious about the top five players, we'll start with number five. Number five, it was Trevon Boykin from TCU, the quarterback who was expected. They're expected to have big things from Trevon Boykin this year in TCU. Fourth was Vernon Hargraves, third from Florida, the outstanding, tremendous defensive back that didn't even play in the LSU game last year, which he probably would have made a huge, huge difference, especially defensively for the Florida Gators last year. But luckily, fortunately for LSU fans, he wasn't playing last year, and that was one heck of a game. LSU was able to get out of Gainesville with that 30-27 victory. Then he had the next two players who were tied for second. You have arguably the best linebacker in college football. He probably is the best linebacker in college football, Scooby Wright from the University of Arizona. And then tied with him at second place was Ezekiel Elliott, the running back from Ohio State. And coming in as the top player, according to ESPN, Joey Bosa, the defensive end from the defending national champion, Ohio State Buckeyes. And he, along with three other players, will be missing from Ohio State's first game against Virginia Tech, which takes place Labor Day night. Speaking of that game, I'd like to take a time out to maybe kind of go away a little bit from, you know, LSU and talk a little bit of college football. I don't want to spend too much time talking just college football because, you know, we are centered mostly around LSU. But we're going to talk about some of the games on week one that catch my eye, at least. We're going to start with Thursday, September the 3rd. The first game that you'll probably catch on television for the 2015 season, North Carolina versus South Carolina. that is a neutral site game in Charlotte, North Carolina. And, you know, South Carolina coming off a 7-6 season. North Carolina is always trying to find themselves with Larry Fedora, head coach. That's going to be an interesting matchup. They played 2 years ago, actually, in the opening game. South Carolina was victorious, but now I feel that South Carolina and North Carolina are on a more even playing field as far as their expectations for the season goes. Also that night, you have another intriguing matchup, Michigan at Utah. That will be Michigan head coaching debut for Jim Harbaugh. They got to go on the road halfway across the country to Utah. Utah was a very good team last year. They finished with a 9-4, and they're in the Pac-12 South. One of the, you know, and we're going to talk about this in a minute, the debate, you know, there's been a lot of debate lately about the Pac-12 South and the SEC West, and we'll get in a little bit to that. Utah is in the Pac-12 South. They went 9-4 last season. They had a great season for what they were probably expected to do in preseason last year, so that's going to be an interesting game. Jim Harbaugh's first game, and then on the road at Utah. And then also opening night, it's all going to be capped off. The number two team in the country, at least according to the coaches poll, ESPN, it'll be TCU heading on the road up north to Minnesota. And TCU and Minnesota played last year. And I know TCU won that game, and I'm trying to remember if that game was actually a good game. So I'm looking that up right now to see how that game. Oh, yeah, TCU beat Minnesota 30-7. So it wasn't as close as I thought, but it was also – TCU was amazing last year. They're going to be amazing again this year. TCU beat Minnesota last year 30-7 in Fort Worth. They got to go up to Minnesota this year. Not quite sure what the expectations for Minnesota are. I haven't quite looked into it just yet, but expectations for Minnesota probably a little bit higher than what we're accustomed to, at least over the past 10, 15 years. Then we're going to look over to Friday. The number four team in the coaches' poll, Baylor, will be at SMU. So Baylor going on the road there. Top five team heading on the road to SMU. That'll be interesting. Then Washington will be on the road at Boise State. Boise State cracked the top 25 at number 24 after having a 12-2 season last year. So that, you know, it's going to be, you know, there's always that talk with Boise State about, you know, hey, what Boise State's just always been there as far as, you know, relevant teams. And they even had that 1 year. They opened up with Virginia Tech about 5 years ago. It was in 2010, and they were looking to go undefeated, and they ended up losing that year to Nevada. That was when Colin Kaepernick and them had the old – they had a pretty good team. I remember that game. That game went into overtime, I believe, and that was one of the best games I've ever seen, Boise State and Nevada back when – Boise State was expected to go undefeated, but that one sole loss knocked them out of any BCS championship hopes that year. And then you look to Saturday, September the 5th, the first game I saw, and I kind of tried to go in chronological order from morning to evening. I know there's a morning game, Stanford at Northwestern. There's really not too much significant about that game. Stanford, you know, they kind of had an average year last year. Stanford was – you know, real high up there whenever they had Harbaugh, and even a few years after Harbaugh, and then now they're on the road at Northwestern opening week. It's going to be interesting to see what Stanford can do this year, because they're always relevant. You know, they're always giving Oregon, you know, a run for their money. So it's always usually Oregon, sometimes Stanford in the Pac-12 championship, at least over the past few years. Then you have Auburn versus Louisville. Auburn, high expectations. The media picked them to – did the media pick them to win the – yeah, I think they did. The media picked them to win the overall SEC, even though they weren't originally picked to win the SEC West. They'll take on Louisville. Bobby Petrino's group always comes with a great offense. It's going to be interesting. That game's also in Atlanta, Georgia, in the Chick-fil-A kickoff game. Then you have Arizona State versus Texas A&M. That is going to be an interesting game. Texas A&M – of course, they got John Chavis over. It's going to be interesting to see how well that defense is improved. Kyle Allen at quarterback. I love Speedy Noyle. Speedy Noyle is a playmaker from New Orleans. Would have loved to see him go to LSU, but he's playing for the Aggies over there in College Station. They take on the Sun Devils, who are ranked 16th in the poll. That is a neutral site game in Houston, so I would think Texas A&M has somewhat of a home field advantage in that one. From one Texas team to another Texas team, the Texas Longhorns, they go on the road to Notre Dame opening weekend. Notre Dame comes in at number 11. in the coaches top 25. Texas has two quarterbacks. They have Tyrone Swoops and this other guy. Tyrone Swoops played a lot last year, but they said him as well as the backup are getting lots and lots of reps. So there's a quarterback duel. I do expect Tyrone Swoops to win it. And then Charlie Strong in his second season, he's trying to revamp that Texas program that has been needing revamping since probably 2010, you know, after they went to BCS championship in 2009, 2010, when they went 5-7. And ever since then, the Texas Longhorns have just not been the same. They go on the road at Notre Dame. Malik Zaire, now the starting quarterback after Everett Golson transferred over to Florida State. Going to be interesting. Notre Dame, that's a team right there. You know, they're just outside the top 10. Can they do this year? Can they come out with a good record? Maybe even sneak their way into the playoff? We'll see what happens. Another game that's really not between two great teams is actually involving an FCS team, believe it or not. But Eastern Washington at Oregon, Vernon Adams Jr. is the new quarterback of the Oregon Ducks, and ironically enough, he transferred over from Eastern Washington, who is actually one of the better teams in the FCS, and they're going on the road to Oregon. Vernon Adams Jr., now the quarterback, taking on his old team, first game at Oregon. I expect Oregon to win that game pretty handily, but Eastern Washington is a great FCS school. Wouldn't be surprised if Eastern Washington came in there and would compete with Oregon, especially going up against their old quarterback and, you know, and Vernon Adams Jr. going up against his old team. So it's going to be interesting one way or the other to see how those two dynamics play out in that game. Then you have Alabama versus Wisconsin. College game day is heading on over to Arlington. That will be played at Cowboy Stadium. Last year, Wisconsin played LSU. Actually, I'm not going to lie to you, I thought they had LSU beat up. They were up 24-7. And somehow LSU clawed their way back into that game and, you know, stole one from Wisconsin, in my opinion, because Wisconsin was very well much on their way to winning that game, and LSU decided to wake up in the fourth quarter, and LSU took that game away from Wisconsin last year. Now they have another shot against an even more viable opponent in Alabama. And, you know, of course, we all know the story with Alabama. They got Derrick Henry, the running back, coming back. You got Nick Saban. You got a great defense. I mean, you lost your defensive coordinator to LSU, but Alabama doesn't rebuild. They reload. They're ranked number 3 in the country right now. A lot of people are expecting, you know, either them or Auburn to, you know, battle it out for the SEC West. And there's also Arkansas and maybe LSU sneaking up behind them. So the SEC West is going to be an interesting race this year. And just in a minute, we're going to compare them with the Pac-12 South and just, you know, hey, see if we can figure out who's better. Then you have the Labor Day night game, Ohio State at Virginia Tech. Of course, three or four players, including Joey Bosa, have been suspended from that game. It may make a little bit of a difference. And this game is so interesting because I was listening to somebody the other day talk about this game and if Virginia Tech could upset them, because this is like the only, you know, game where Ohio State could possibly get upset, at least until Michigan State, which they don't play Michigan State, I believe, until late October, early November. And it's just interesting that you have Virginia Tech, who just beat them last year. I even remember watching that game. That was an absolute stunner. But if Virginia Tech wouldn't have beaten them last year, there's more of a chance this year that Virginia Tech can upset them. But the fact that Ohio State has that revenge factor, there's almost no way that I see Ohio State losing this game, even in Blacksburg. I don't think it's going to happen. So that's Labor Day night. Luckily for me, I'll be in school, but we get off of school that Monday. So that Monday night, I'll be free to watch that game. I'm very, very intrigued by that game to see just how that plays out. Okay, so we talked about the college slate week one, and now we're going to, you know, there's been some debate, the Pac-12 South, the SEC West. You got the SEC West, you got Alabama, you got Auburn, you got Mississippi State, you got Ole Miss. Just kind of looking at them last year to this year, Alabama, you know, lost a lot of players. They lost Amari Cooper. They lost Blake Sims and all that. So it's going to be interesting to see how you replace those big playmakers. Of course, you still have the running game. Mississippi State, they lost a lot of players. They got Dak Prescott back, which is, you know, he's good enough to where he might make everybody around him better. You got Ole Miss, they lost their starting quarterback, but they have a great defense. Hugh Freeze has been recruiting real well. Auburn has a great quarterback in Jeremy Johnson. They're expected to do big things. And you got LSU. We still don't know what our quarterback situation is, but we got talent all over the field, and they played to their potential. LSU, of course, is always dangerous. You got Texas A&M. The big question there is, how improved can that defense be? Can they, you know, score and then play defense? And then you have Arkansas, who was a little bit of a surprise last year. They finished 7-6 last season, and they're getting their running game going. Brett Bielema is doing a great job over there, getting the players he needs in there. And, you know, Arkansas could make some noise here in the SEC West this season. And you have the Pac-12 South, Arizona. They have one of the best players in college football with Scooby Wright. Then you have Arizona State, who was 10-3 last year. Also UCLA, they lost a lot of players. But UCLA is kind of hanging around there. UCLA, Jim Mora, he's always brought a very good team to the table the last few years. They won 10 games last year. Then you have USC, who went 9-4 last season. But they're returning arguably maybe the best quarterback in all of college football, in my opinion, at least statistically. It was Cody Kessler last season, who threw for 39 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. And you have Utah. We mentioned Utah a little bit earlier. They went 9-4 last season, kind of had a surprising season. And then at the bottom of the barrel, you have Colorado, who was 2-10 last year. So Colorado's sort of that, you know, speck at the bottom of the, you know, the cellar dweller of the Pac-12 South, so to speak. If you look at the overall record of the Pac-12 South last year, they went 50-28. And then you look at the SEC West, they went 62-30. Now, granted, the SEC West has one more team than the Pac-12 South does, but and you look at the average wins, the Pac-12 South averaged 8.3 wins. Then you had the SEC West, they averaged 8.8 wins. So believe it or not, you know, the SEC teams averaged a half a win more than the Pac-12 South teams did. So let's look at the schedule now. ESPN is going on a bus tour, actually, this week, starting tomorrow, and I'm going to give you that little tour right now. Tomorrow, Monday, August 10th, they're actually going to Ohio State. They'll be coming to LSU, but I'm going to go through the schedule in order here for all you college football fans out there who might want to catch this every day. Monday, August the 10th, that will be tomorrow. Ohio State, they'll be, you know, visiting the defending national champions. Then you have Tuesday, August the 11th, they'll be visiting Notre Dame. That'll be in the morning. And then Wednesday, they head all the way over to the West Coast. They'll be visiting UCLA in the morning in San Bernardino, and then USC in the afternoon. And then Thursday, they have three teams they're going to be covering. In the morning, they'll be covering Baylor. They'll go to Waco, and then they'll travel up to Fort Worth in the afternoon to go to TCU. And then somehow, some way, they're making their way down to Baton Rouge Thursday evening, August 13th, this coming Thursday, LSU in the evening. Check out ESPN for that. Check out some, you know, bus tour going around. Looking at some of the top schools and top football teams that they're expecting to do well this year. And then, of course, Friday, August 14th, in the morning, they'll be visiting Alabama. And then in the evening, they will be visiting Auburn. Let's keep looking now at the LSU fall schedule as far as fall camp goes. We've got about a minute and a half. I'm going to go through it very, very quickly. Tomorrow, August 10th, 9:25 a.m., first full squad practice in full pads. August 11th at 3:45, they'll have a walkthrough. August 12th, they will have two practice. They'll start doing two-a-days August 12th. August 13th, 9:15 a.m. practice. August 14th, 9:05 a.m. practice. And then August 15th, that is next Saturday, 11:15 a.m., they will have a scrimmage. I'm not sure if it's open to the public. August 16th, they will have media day and fan day from 5:30 to 6:30. Football team and Coach Miles will be signing autographs. August 17th, they have a two-a-day. August 18th, one. They have another scrimmage on August 22nd. The AP poll is released August 23rd. August 24th is the first day of school, and then basically it's just your regular routine after that. September 5th will be kickoff in Tiger Stadium. We've got about 30 seconds left now, so I want to once again thank everybody for tuning in, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Go follow our Facebook page, Tiger Hype. Also our podcast page, Tiger Hype Podcast. Now less than 4 weeks away from kickoff. Join me back here next weekend for Patrick Fry and all the guys at Tiger Hype. Once again, thank you for listening, and go Tigers.